So welcome, dear friends, Alf. I don't know what the other name came from. Father, I thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you that you long to hold your children. You long to heal your children. You long for your children to know how much you love us. And Father, I pray for Pam today. I pray for clarity. I pray that every word will come straight from your heart. And I thank you that you're with her and that you're her peace and that she is your daughter, beloved daughter. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Kirsten. So our team has got some prophetic words they're going to give away. So guys, you want to come up? How many people were here last night? Awesome. Anybody here for the first time? They just got here. Okay, it's going to be a great time. Thank you for coming, getting up on a Saturday morning and sharing with us. So we have, I don't know how many of you are used to the term prophetic word, but that's a church term. And but the easiest way to say it is just that they're asking God for his messages for his people. God, do you have a word for your people? So they have words that some of them are going to be general for more than one, and some of them are going to be very specific. So we always start with that. So Anne-Marie, you're first.
Good morning. Rachel, I have a word for you. Yes. Actually, I was drawn to you last night, so I was praying for you. And I think the Father says to you today that he sees you as a flower, but a sunflower. And a sunflower, its face is always turned to the sun. And he just delights in the fact that your focus is on him. That I don't know if you're going through tough times or stuff, but that the fact that you turn with the sun, that your face is always with the sun, it just brings him to tears. He loves it.
Good. Thank you. Okay, come on up. Mike.
Hi there. This word may be for several people, but I'm just going to take a little chance here. Can I ask anybody for whom performance and achievement means anything, specifically in your life? Do you raise a hand or stand up? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I kept on getting these two words this morning, and I believe what the Lord is saying to you is, first of all, that he has, this is something that he's given to you, that you are achievers and that you perform at a high level. And he says, that's a gift that I have given you. That's a gift that I have given you. It's a good thing. But for some of you, you may have turned it into, this is my identity, and I cannot be, you know, loved by that. So I just want to pray for you and just bless you in that. And so, yeah, if you just want to receive that, specifically if that's you.
How about you stand up? Yeah.
So, Father, we want to thank you for these who have stood up, Lord. And we want to thank you, God, that you have hardwired them to see a task and to see it done and to see it done with excellence, Lord. And, Father, we recognize that that is a gift from you. Lord, we also want to say that if that has ever been a crutch in our lives whereby we have said, God can only love me according to the level that I have achieved. Father, we want to confess that, and we want to say we want to hand that over to you, Lord, and acknowledge and declare that we are loved not because of how we perform, but simply because of who we are.
So, Lord, we declare over you right now that there will no longer be any crutches or any barriers of performance and striving. We declare over you that you are loved for who you are and not for what you do. We take that sign off of you right now, and we release just the ability to receive your worth now from God. And we just give you permission to drop the striving and drop the performance and just receive his love. Amen? Amen. Thanks, Mike.
God's just been giving me a little sliver of his love for you. I know even though I might feel it a lot, it's a drop in the ocean. of his love for you. And so this word is for everybody here. You are God's happy thought. His heart is bursting for you. He just is in total love with you. Before the foundations of the earth, he saw the worst possible version of you. And he also saw the best possible version of you that none of us have become yet. And he said, I got to go bring them from worst to best, because he wants family. He wants sons and daughters. And Stan and Crystal were proudly telling us about their family last night. And God is proud of you, his sons and daughters, his family. And it's not because of what you've done. It's because of who you are. It's the fact that you are his son and you are his daughter. Yeah, and so I just declare that over you. The Father says, I am proud of you, my son, my daughter. I love you, my son, my daughter. I delight in spending time with you. And, yeah.
See, the difference between when we begin to declare it over you, what we're doing is we're coming into agreement with what God has told us about you. Because we want you to hear it from the Lord, that the Lord says you are his son. The Lord says you are his daughter. We want that to go in deep to you. And so when the Lord gives us that word, sometimes it just bubbles up and we just don't know how to, you know, our own humanness, you know, there's so much we want to say to explain it to you, but what we always want to end up doing is just declaring it over you. Because ultimately, that's what the Lord has dropped in our hearts and dropped in John's heart about you today. So can you receive that? So just close your eyes for a second. Okay, and just take that deep breath in of what you just heard. I am. Just say it. I am his son, or I am his daughter. Just say it. I am. Come on, say it again. I am his daughter. I am his son. And just thank him for that. Say, Lord, that's truth. That's truth, and I want to receive truth today. There you go. That's awesome. Deep breath in one more time. Just the peace of God. That's it. Truth always feels so good when you breathe it in. Okay, Mike?
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody here whose name is George or have a family member whose name is George? Maybe it's, yeah? Can you stand up, please? God has really been tugging at me for the last, I'd say, 7 to 10 days, this name, and he won't let it go, which has been kind of humorous to me. Like, George? What? George? So I looked back, and St. George was a man of courage. He was in the Roman armed military. He was offered many, many high military positions, but he never backed down. He was a man of faith. He lived it to his death. He was a martyr. I think the Father wants to bestow on you the courage, that courage that he gave that saint a long time ago, that authority, right? That, because that was so strong. And not only that, but when I looked at the name, the name actually, George, means earth tiller, from the earth, and then which... fascinating for me. I mean, this is blessing you, it's blessed me, because I was like, wow, this guy is cool. It led to kingships. It led to, 6 kings in the British Empire, 2 kings in the Greek Empire. This is no small potatoes, right? So, I just want to bless you with that courage today.
Thank you. John?
I have a word for, I believe your name is Don. Right there. Yeah, is that Don? Every time I look at you, I see the word encouragement above your head. Kind of just follows you around. So the thing about encouragement is it's an atmosphere changer, right? It changes atmospheres wherever you go. And I really feel like God is going to be taking you into really dark places to bring that encouragement, almost like an emergency light. You know how like everything goes off? Darkness, emergency light pops on. You're just going to be walking around, living life kind of thing, and then it's just going to go dark, and you're going to know in your spirit, okay, it's time. Somebody needs encouragement. And like Barnabas would seek out to encourage people, right? So I just really want to bless that in you, and Yeah, that's just what I'm saying with you. So, Father, I just pray for Don that just increase his awareness of what's going on around him, God, and the people that he needs to encourage at that moment, Father. And just thank you for that. It's such an awesome thing, Don. It changes atmosphere. So,
thank you, Lord. Okay, and I have got a word for there's a somebody here who is, it's a woman who's kind of into gardening, who loves flowers, someone that's always loves their garden, loves flowers. If that's you, can you stand up? Yeah, it can be more than one. It can be more than one. Look at all these gardeners. That's awesome. Okay, so I want you ladies to just close your eyes because this is from the Lord. This is a word that was sent in from Abbotsford by one of the people that are praying for you. And they knew it was about somebody who loved gardening. So this is the word of the Lord for you. God wants you to know that he's going to and has already been resoiling the garden bed of your heart this year. There's new blossoms about to sprout for you. And he says, for behold, I am doing a new thing in you. He says, again, behold, I'm doing a new thing, and now it will spring forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way in the wilderness and rivers for you in the desert place. That's Isaiah 43:19. The Lord says that he wants you to allow him to be creative, to leave room for him in your days. And if you do that, he's going to surprise you. He sees a garden bed that has been left with dry soil, but the Holy Spirit wants you to know that he's coming with rich water to begin to enable your growth. And he said, just let it happen. Just let it happen. So just receive that. If that word resonates with you, then I want you just to say, Lord, I receive that. And just let him begin to do that in your heart this year. Okay, thank you so much. And there's one more word. This is another word that was sent in. And I think it's for somebody. Is there anybody here, middle name, or anybody in your family named Holly? Holly can also be just, like I said, our guys are practicing on names, so we'll just not worry about it. But it's somebody who's an older woman, and you're worried about your children. So if that's you, you don't have to stand if you're uncomfortable with that. But if you're an older woman that's been worrying about your kids, can you just give me a wave, and then I'm just going to give you this word. Okay, so that's it. Well, how about the two of you stand then if you're comfortable? How about the three of you stand? Now that I made you wave, now you can stand up because you're all identified. Okay, so just close your eyes right now. This is what the Lord says. This is what's sent in from another person who's praying for you from Abbotsford. The Lord wants you to know that he says if you just let go, he's going to step in. He's just, the word to you is yield, yield, yield right now. He said, they're not offended with God, and God's not offended with them, but he is going to be working on them. He is drawing them. The Lord wants you to know that he has their and your best interest in mind, and he just wants you to continue to pray and believe. He says, there's times when you want to speak something, and he says, you know that he's been training you to just keep your mouth shut at different times. He said, there's been times you're so tempted, but he's saying, you know, those times when you've been hearing him say, don't say anything, that is him. Don't let the enemy beat you up afterwards when he hears, when you hear him say, I should have said this, I should have stepped in that. The Lord says those times when he's telling you not to speak, he says that's the time when he's working on them. He also says not to worry about sharing with other people that you haven't seen results in your kids' lives. He says, you know what? Don't let that cause a stronghold of unbelief in your heart. He said, mix all that patience that you have with the faith. And he says they're going to come home to the Father. He wants you to know that your confession over your children now will be they're in God's capable hands and he loves them. And so we want to just pray over you right now, Father, that these mothers who are standing and praying for different releases and breakthroughs for their kids, Father, we bless them. We just say right now, we honor you. We honor you as mothers who have stood in the faith. We also wash you off where maybe your own faith has been mocked at times or they've tried to push you away. And the Lord wants you to know he sees that you're standing. He sees that you're standing and he says, keep standing and let your confession be from now on. My children are in God's capable hands. He loves them and he's drawing them. And so we bless you, ladies. Amen. Amen. Not bad, eh? Okay, good start. I want to just also let you guys know these testimony forms. I'm going to have our guys hand them out. Can I have two of you come up here? These testimony forms, we want you to keep them with you. And then as God does something in your life, just write it down, because it's really important for you to write down what God is doing in you. There's something about owning it. There's something about how you embrace it. Because sometimes God will say something to you, and if you don't write it down, you'll forget it when you leave. But if you actually write it as part of your testimony, you'll remember it. And then maybe if you're willing, we'll get you to come up and share sometime too. No, that's it. That's it. Okay. They'll get some more copies out there too as we start working. How many people felt God touch them last night? Yeah, God was speaking to you last night. Last night was a good foundation, because if you don't understand that it's okay to go to the Father, if you don't understand that that's why Jesus came, what'll happen is you won't understand the rest of the weekend. You'll still be fighting it. So it was a good foundation. Because finding love, and we need that love of the Father, finding that love is the pursuit of our lives. And it can only end when we find ourselves in the arms of the Heavenly Father. See, and we want to take people from something they should believe in to something they experience. And love needs to be something that you experience, right? And the love of the Father is good doctrine. I mean, even the enemy knows that. That's why he tries so hard to keep us from getting it. You know, Mike started off with that word of people that were struggling or fighting performance or striving, that kind of thing. And the reason why that's so important for you to keep praying about that is when we strive and when we perform, it's the exact opposite of walking in love. Did you know that? The reason why it's the exact opposite is because of the fact that love is freely given and love is unconditional. And if you're striving or performing, what happens is you're trying to earn. And as soon as you think you can earn love, you're missing the point of it. And so one of the things that this morning session is going to be about is the healing of your hearts. So healing the brokenhearted doesn't do anything except really fix your motor. Your emotional makeup has either been broken or bound up by things that have happened to you in your past. And most of us, the pain in our life is actually from our childhood. That's where the greatest amount of pain happens to us. And your personality can actually get changed or damaged because of the things that happened to you in your childhood. But when God heals us, he puts us back into operating order, and we're ready to go. But when God heals us, that's only us getting fixed. We still need to be filled, just like a car. See, if we take a car to the shop to get fixed, and we get the motor fixed or the engine fixed, but we don't have the gas tank filled with gas, what good is a fixed car if there's nothing to run on? And so God wants to heal your heart, yes, but he also wants to fill you. And so this weekend is about getting healed and getting filled. So we're going to start this morning with the father types. There's 6 main father types. Now, I want to encourage you this too, that if you feel emotion coming up, don't push it away. It's not that we want you all crying, but we actually want you all tender. You know, because some of you have learned to push emotion away for a long, long time. You know, you'll hear bits and pieces of my story as I'm teaching this morning. But as a little girl, my father was an alcoholic and a self-prescribed drug addict. He was a town doctor. So he was the kind of drug addict and alcoholic that most of the town didn't know about, but our family lived with all the repercussions of it. And the thing is, as a little girl, I stopped crying at 9 years of age. And I didn't get my tears back till I was about 23. And so many of us have that same type of thing. We'll finally cry when we're angry enough, or we just can't even cry at all. But it's because we've pushed away emotion. And so this weekend is about allowing emotion to come back again. You won't be overwhelmed. God is a good God. He's not going to break you in front of everybody and not let you get put back together again. He is going to heal your heart, but he's going to fill it too. So I'm going to give you a quick review of the things, of the 4 needs that you need in childhood before we go into the father types. Understand this. A father's role is to give you identity, significance, and to provide a proper lens of really seeing the Heavenly Father. And blockages to the love of God is often directly related to issues that we've had because we've been wounded by our earthly fathers. So the 4 needs in childhood, if they go unmet, that can make it really difficult to have a healthy relationship with God as Father, or even other people later on in your childhood are these four needs. Every child has the need for unconditional expressed love. It's not just enough that your dad provided food for you or clothing for you or a roof over your head. There has to be loving feelings too, and they have to be communicated and expressed in a way that's meaningful to a child. Another need you have is the need to feel secure and comforted. Every child needs to feel safe. A father can make a house safe through locks. You have locks on the doors and locks on the windows. But a child also needs to know their family, home, or household is emotionally safe. And they can always have a safe place when they get home. For me, that was not true. I never knew what was going to hit me when I walked in the door. I never knew if I was going to get physically hit, verbally hit. You know, so walking in the door, coming home was always like a trauma for me, a stress for me. The other need a child has is the need to feel need for praise and affirmation. Children need to hear good things about themselves from their parents. Or they'll spend their lives trying to gain approval from other people. See, children are better prepared for life when their self-esteem and values are recognized. We don't have to tell, you don't have to worry about making a kid prideful. Can I say that again? You don't have to worry about making a kid prideful. Telling them, I love that about you. That was a great job. Well done. That's not going to make them cocky. It is going to make them confident. So children need praise and affirmation. The other thing children need is the need for purpose in life. And fathers have that responsibility to cultivate their children's gifts and talents. Everybody needs a sense of value and a belief that their lives mean something so they can make a difference. And all of us, whether you've had a good, bad, or a bad dad, we look to our dads in some way or another for that. And if we didn't get that met, we found ways to get it met through other people. And we often found ways to get it met unhealthily. Now, some of us found out our worth and value was very much due to how much we could do for people. And that's because at home, that's what we were learning. If you did a lot at home, you got lots of praise. Or maybe you did a lot at home trying to get praise and you didn't. So what was happening with your earthly fathers is really important. Now, as we go through this too, some of you, your fathers are passed away. And so when all this stuff stirs up, you're going to, you know, we often hear the question, I don't know what to do about this because my dad is gone. Okay, well, this is the thing. Even if your dad is here, this isn't something that you need to phone him about this afternoon and say, I just realized what a really rotten guy you were, you know. Or better yet, hey, Dad, I learned why I'm so screwed up. It's all because of you, you know. No, we don't want those phone calls this afternoon. What we do want you to do is we want you to be able to take now this pain to the Father and to be able to forgive, because we need you to release yourself. And so that's what this is going to be about. So we're not going to be dishonoring our parents this morning by acknowledging that there was pain and things that they did that affected us. Let's face it, they did the best they could, and we are going to honor that. But not acknowledging your own pain and not acknowledging that you've been hurt isn't going to help you be free. Okay, so we just want you to be free to understand that acknowledging the pain is not dishonoring your parents. It's actually finally honoring yourself and saying, I need to deal with this. So here we go. We're going to look at six father types. We're going to kind of bomb through this, and we're going to take about a half an hour to go through the six father types, and then we're going to do some ministry with you, and then we'll have a 15-minute break, and then we're going to go through just the whole nurturing heart of God and how mothers affect us. And so it will be an emotional morning for you, but it will be well worth it. You're going to feel so clean and so fresh when this is all done. Okay, six types of fathering types, six type of fathers. Now remember, your dad will probably not fit in just one category. Many fathers, my father, fit in all six categories. So your dad may fit in all six categories. So I will have you stand up and we will do a prayer response after each father type. And it's kind of going to be like father type bingo. You know, if you, at the end, if you get all six father types, bingo, you know. You get the prize just like me. More healing coming to you. Okay, so here we go. First father type, the absent father. Now, this is a father that's obviously absent due to many reasons. It can be death. It can be that he's not around because of divorce. It can be long work hours keeps him away. It could be a high travel schedule, or it could be abandonment. He's just left you. He just left the family. Having an absent father type can cause you to feel insignificant, because a father is the one that gives us significance. And this can result in you having feelings or dealing with feelings of neglect, rejection, abandonment. And when you have an absent father, what you can also do is project onto God that he is also distant and uninvolved in your life. You can feel like if you really love God, he might leave you. So you keep your kind of relationship with God, you know, really guarded and really as unemotional as you can, because you don't want to get too attached to him. You might be a person who only feels the love of God intermittently, and so only once in a while do you get feelings of it. You might feel that God won't come through for you. There might be a deep sense of guilt for the striving for love and approval, and Mike gave that word today about that. And when you have that striving for approval, there's fear of rejection all the time. Even if you think you've worked your little tail off, you wonder if it's going to be good enough. Furthermore, there can be a fear of getting close to God because you're afraid that he might abandon you too. So you are frightened to even risk having a relationship with him. And all of that can cause you to become this. You can become a very intense and serious person. You don't have time to have a childhood. But Father God longs to restore those years to you. You can become a very strong person. I can take care of myself. How many of you have said that sometime? It's okay, I can take care of myself. Or how about the line, I've always had to take care of myself. Yeah, see, you have learned to be a person who is making your own way in the world. I don't need anything from anyone. I take care of myself. The problem is you have a father who longs to take care of you and be a part of your life. You can also become a very angry person, and this can be a person that actually internalizes their anger. And the reason why you internalize your anger, if you're this type of person, is because you feel like you've been robbed. And you know what? You have been. Because that is not what God intended. God did not intend for you to have to be fatherless. The problem is, God gives our fathers a choice. God gives people choices how they handle and respond to their own pain. And if our fathers responded to the pain they knew, in the only way they knew, by they just removed themselves, you have been robbed. When you understand that, you'll understand that there was something missing in your life. And it's okay for you to finally say, yeah. As adults, we make excuses all the time. Well, I know that my dad was broken. I know that my dad had to travel. Well, I know this. Okay, that's the adult in you talking. Where the pain is locked in is that little boy or little girl that was saying, Daddy, where are you? Why aren't you here? So the joy is that the Heavenly Father wants to be Daddy for you. Isn't that cool? Man, he wants to be Daddy. And the reason why I use the word Daddy and not Father is because certain times I'm going to use the word Daddy because I want you to understand that's the level of relationship, because we use that with our children, don't we? I mean, how many of you guys here have kids? Put your hands up if the men have kids. Okay, so men, how many of you tell your children, call me father, call me father? You usually say to them, call me daddy. And moms, when you teach your kids stuff, you say, call him, say daddy. So we're going to work on what has happened to you because of an absent father. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, he is a father to the fatherless. John 14, 18 says, he will not leave us as orphans. Hebrews 13:5 says, he will never leave us. And remember that he wants to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. So if you have had an absent father in your life, would you stand? And remember, this is just the short part of the ministry. Close your eyes, and if you could just repeat after me, Father God, thank you for my earthly father. And today I want to forgive him for any way that he misrepresented you to me. And Father, I thank you that I am never alone and I never will be. I thank you that you want to be my father as much as I need a father. I am not an orphan any longer. Father, I welcome you into my life, and I welcome you to father me. Teach me what it is to be your son or daughter. Okay, just take a deep breath. Okay, have a seat. Okay, you're going to be okay, I promise. You know, next father type is the passive father. This is the type of father who's not responsive, he's not involved, or he's not active. He's the kind of guy that even when he's home, he's not home. He's unable to express his emotions, and it's really difficult to get his attention. He's often hidden behind a book, the newspaper, or in this day and age, the computer, or he's on his cell phone all the time playing games or checking weather or who knows what it is. He's engrossed in TV or a video game. This is a guy, a passive father, rarely gives affection or initiates it. He's not a guy that pursues you. That's the whole point of passivity. He's unemotional or he's withdrawn, and he's rarely able to share your joy or your grief. You often don't hear this guy saying, I love you. A passive father is often very uncomfortable with physical affection. But understand this. A passive father doesn't mean he didn't love you. And it doesn't mean he didn't feel anything towards you. And it doesn't mean he didn't consider you important. It may just mean that he found it very hard to express emotions to you and to show you that. But the result is, it's often hard to feel close to a passive father. Remember this little saying, undemonstrated love wounds. See, often the absence of something good can be just as devastating as the presence of something bad. Now, I'll give you an example of that. My dad, when he was drinking, was extremely violent. Most of my childhood memories have things like either fists flying, guns involved, fireplace pokers, fire involved, you name it. When my dad wasn't drinking, he was a very quiet man, an extremely brilliant doctor. But this quiet, passive man, which is what he was like when he was drinking, could never express affection to any of his children. So we lived in this world of this extremely violent man when he was drunk, and this extremely passive man who couldn't tell us after a night of beating us all up. He could never say the words, I love you, or I'm sorry. He was extremely passive, and that locked him in. And that not hearing that we were loved didn't help us get over all the violence. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there was never a moment where we felt loved or safe because it wasn't expressed when he was being quiet or passive. So the result was, see, we're built for love. God's put eternity into our hearts, and he's created each of us to hear the words, I love you, from your father. So the result is you have a lot of hidden anger, and boy, did I have hidden anger. Man, I would try to make you happy, but when something finally pushed me the wrong way, boy, my temper would just come out. And I never understood why I had such a bad temper. But I didn't realize till later that one of the things that happens with the passive father is you too start to have difficulty getting in touch with your emotions. And so your own emotions, the things that you do need to feel, the things you need to work through, you begin to have difficulty and they begin to get blocked. And so you have difficulty resolving them. And you can have an inability to experience intimacy in relationships. So you can keep people, you can let them get only so close. Even if you want them closer, you can't seem to get them close. And I'll give you an example of that. By the time I was married about 10 years, I couldn't figure out why I always felt like there was this little distance between Alf and I. And God had been healing my heart, healing my heart, healing my heart. And then one day God showed me this picture of this little girl inside this bricked tower. And the Lord was saying to me, Pam, will you push just one of those bricks out? And I thought, oh. And I realized when he asked me to do it, I was absolutely terrified. And what he said to me is, you keep a little part of that part of you is what you've kept away from Alf all these years. You've kept a little part of your heart protected from him all these years. And of course, when you're having those conversations with God, you always act surprised that he tells you stuff like, what, me? You know, me, I'm like the, I love Alf. Alf knows he loves me. And the Lord said, no, but you have for 10 years expected him to leave you. And so you've always kept a little bit of your heart back, because in my mind I had said, when he leaves, if he leaves me and I give him my whole heart, it will destroy me. So I'll just keep a part of myself back. So when he leaves, I'll survive. Now, in my mind, that made complete sense. And some of you are looking at me like, whoa, you were like one messed up chick, you know? And I agree, totally. The thing is, the Lord came and began to say to me, it's time for you to let that place of protection go. See, but I hadn't realized that I actually was having trouble in giving my whole heart to Alf. So God was kind enough to begin to show me, because of your upbringing, you've been expecting to be left your whole life. So you can become like that inability to experience the type of intimacy you want in your relationships. And intimacy with God seems blocked, and it's difficulty to sense his presence. There's difficulty in receiving love from the Father. And because a passive father doesn't protect his children, you'll also feel that God doesn't protect you. Now, my dad, because he was passive when he was not drinking, we had many, many predators that came into our house. And so as a little girl, it always felt unsafe, because my dad either did not recognize or chose not to recognize that he was letting men into the home that were abusing his daughters. And so we continually went through that. So then when Alf starts telling me that God wants to love me as a father, I would just have just bouts of extreme anger. And I would say to him, why are you like on this? Like, get off my back. You know, I love Jesus. Jesus is good enough for me. Like, what's with you in this stupid father stuff? And I didn't realize it was because I was afraid of the father. A father had never protected me. And so all of a sudden, Alf is telling me that Jesus wants to take me to the Father. And I'm thinking, man, that's like telling the lamb, I want to take you to the slaughter. So I fought it until the Lord could heal my heart. And that's what some of you need to do. Because when you're in this place, you feel like you're on your own. And you have to, and it's always about you. And you're always the initiator and the pursuer of God. And it even with other people. And it can become really hard work. Relationships become hard work. And it becomes hard work to know God. And it can contribute to suddenly you start feeling depressed about your relationship with God. You start to be despondent about it. And you start feeling like even maybe you're not good enough for God. And so you start striving to gain his attention. So again, undemonstrated love wounds. And so how you project onto God is this. You know God loves you, but it's from a distance. You walk by faith that God loves you, but there's no emotions involved. There's no experience involved. You just, it's in your head, and that's good enough for you. You don't think you can experience the Father's love. You look at other people getting touched, and you think, yeah, it's because, see, God has favorites, and I'm not one of them. Or I'm just not built to feel that. And you think that God is not interested in your life. Romans 8:32 says he wants to give you so much more. 1 John 3:1 says he lavished his love upon you. You know what lavished means? I have a daughter named Mary who lavishes cream cheese on bagels. You know, even when we were broke and I would say to her, like, go easy on the cream cheese. She, like, lavishes cream cheese, you know, because she likes it nice and thick. Well, God wants to lavish his love on you. Now, you can become a person with it when you've gone through this kind of a father type. You become a person that can cope and get by. You can become a person that has a hard time expressing love or knowing love or even knowing how to accept it. Psalm 139 says, he is intimately acquainted with all your ways. Luke 12:7 says, he's counted the hairs on your head. This father is not passive in his love for you. He's interested in every detail. So if you've had a passive father, can I get you to stand? Okay. So again, close your eyes. Don't worry about anybody else. And just repeat after me. Father, thank you for your love. And I stand here today to receive that love. And I want to forgive my father today for his passivity. Father, forgive me too for my responses to his passivity. and for my responses to the wounding that passivity has caused. I invite you today to be active in my life and to show me that you are interested in me and you are interested in the details of my life. Okay, take a deep breath. Okay, have a seat. I just heard a couple of people go, okay, two down, just four to go. You'll make it, I promise. Next, Father, performance-orientated Father. Okay, this is a Father that's got really high standards, but they're not tempered by love, nurture, or affection. They value obedience over everything. This is a Father that will point to your failures to try to motivate you to succeed. And there's disapproval from him for not meeting his expectations. This is a guy who rarely affirms your strengths. For instance, you bring home a report card, might have like five B's on it and one C. And what's the one he'll point out to you? What's with the C? You got five B's here. How come you, what's going on here? What's going on here? So that joy of achieving five B's gets wiped out because performance has said it's not good enough. Love and affirmation from a performance-orientated father is expressed only when you're doing well. And that means you have to try to do well in school, you try to do well in your appearance, you try to do well in your sports or in your religion. And if your father was a performance-orientated religious father in a religious household, it's going to be all about what you can do in church, performing in church, looking the right way in church, responding the right way in church. And that's going to lead to a constant increasing obsession with trying to work harder all the time to get the successes that make your dad happy. There's little sense of rest when you've had a performance-orientated father. And to cover this, sometimes you end up, if you've been brought up in a religious household, you wear a mask of super spirituality. And you do that to hide what's really going on internally. So burnout and depression can follow people who have had a performance-orientated father. And it's been said that most people with depression have at least one parent that was performance-orientated. It's tough living life feeling like you can never hit the mark. And there's fear. If I do well this time, will I be able to do it next time? So the projected view onto God is he's only interested in your performance or in your attendance. The New Testament discipline can quickly become like Old Testament law to you. You have to have all the boxes checked in order to be accepted. You're always earning your way. God only loves me when I'm doing the right things, so I'll do a lot of the right things. You can also project onto God that if you rest, he's going to judge you. Performance-orientated people have no concept of rest, even though they need it. We all need it. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know I'm God. Just picture somebody just thrashing and rashing and blah, 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 and they're trying to know God in that state. You can't know God in that state. You have to be still. Why don't you just put your hand on your heart right now and just tell your heart, for those of you that are getting hit, say, be still. Be still and know God. Good. Okay, you can become this type of a person. And this is the only father type that causes people to become one of two things. Most father types, we can nail it down to specifically, you become one type of person. This father type causes one of two reactions. You can become a person that strives to succeed. You become a person that's striving for affection and notice. You can confuse your value with what you do. And you can become great at hiding your weaknesses, which is a nice way of saying you learn to lie. How are you doing? Fine? You're not doing fine. What's going on at home? It's great. It's awesome. How's your walk with God? Amazing. You learn to hide your weaknesses. Or, and this is the other person you can become like, you give up, you shut down, you don't even try. Because if you can't be the best, you don't try at all. The fruit of a performance-orientated parent is often the root cause of depression. Did you know 80% of pastors' kids have been treated for depression? Because there's so much performance put on pastors' children. I'll give you a little bunny trail newsflash here. guess what? They're not the pastor of your church. They're kids. That's what we told our church when we took over. We're the pastors. They're just kids. Do your kids act bad? So will ours. Do your kids mouth off? So do ours. It's like you wouldn't expect a doctor's kids to treat you. You wouldn't expect a carpenter's kids to build for you. We have to stop expecting pastors' kids to act like pastors. They're kids. So just that was free. Okay. Ephesians 1:14. He chose us to be sons, not slaves. John 17:23. He loves us just as he loves Jesus. Exactly the same. Isn't that amazing? And he told Jesus he was amazing and he hadn't even done anything yet. You know the verse from Mark? Behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The message says it like this. This is the pride of my life. The pride of my life. I love that. And I'm like, first time I read that, I thought, how can he be the pride of your life? He hasn't even done anything yet. All he did was come up out of the water. Like, come on, Jesus, get moving here. Because see, that was the performance girl in me. How can God say he's proud of somebody when you haven't done anything yet? Oh, Lord, aren't you glad he healed me? So, how many of you had a performance-oriented parent, father, stand up? Boy, some of you are going to get bingo. That's good. That means you're going to get tons of freedom. Okay, close your eyes. Again, Father, I thank you that you don't require perfection to be loved by you. Thank you that you love the way I was created and that you want to spend time with me. Thank you that I can't earn what I've already been given. Help me to walk in that experience of being greatly loved by you. And thank you for my dad. Thank you for my parents who did the best they knew how. But they taught me to strive and to perform for acceptance. And today I want to forgive them. I want to release unconditional forgiveness towards them. And I release them from my judgments. Lord, unhook the lie that I need to perform in order to be loved by you and all the others in my life. Father, I receive right now your unconditional love. So just take a deep breath. Say, right now, Father, start that process in me. And I give you permission to take down the walls that have kept you distant. Okay, just another deep breath. So just take a moment. That's it. Feels good, doesn't it? There's more good stuff coming. Okay, have a seat. Okay. Authoritarian father, number four. This is a strict legalist. This is a guy that lives by the rules and he has little ability to give you love. Obedience, again, is valued above relationship and truth above love. He is more comfortable with your obedience than love and intimacy. Authoritarian father always majors on the truth and letter of the law. And remember, your dad might not be all of these, and he might not even be all the things listed under the father type that we're giving. But if you get a lot of it, if you can say, yeah, that was him, then I want you to just allow the Lord to heal your heart in that way. An authoritarian father, his approval comes to you by obeying the written or the unwritten rules in the family. And internally, that can translate into a belief that love and obedience are intertwined. And that can result in a lot of deep anger that quenches the spirit of a person. And it can lead to a crushed or a heavy heart. That can also lead to a motivation in life and a lack of identity. And a person can easily end up then getting trapped into negative groups that you hang out with. So because you start taking on their identities. So you see God as the big cop in the sky, and he's watching you to make sure you obey and do everything the right way. You know, be nice, be in church, do this. Oh, you only prayed for 45 minutes. Oh, I should have prayed for an hour. You know, you're always following some yardstick in your life. So it's hard to develop a relationship with God, because when you unconsciously, like Alf said last night, when you subconsciously see God as harsh and angry, it's difficult to have intimacy with him. It's difficult to let him come close to you. And that type of father can shape your idea of how God is also only interested in you obeying and obeying the rules. Jeremiah 31:3 and Isaiah 30, verse 10. I'll just give those to you. You can look them up sometime. But so you can project onto God when you've had an authoritarian father that you may believe that God is harsh and impatient. You may believe that God is only interested in the public areas of your life. So you're outwardly righteous or holy. What you wear becomes the most important thing. And you can become a person who's constantly looking to blame others for your failures, because you don't want God's hammer to fall on you. So for instance, how many times do you catch yourself when something has happened, you right away say, even if I drop, say for instance, Alf hands me a glass of water and the glass is a bit wet, and so he hands it to me, but it slips through my fingers. Now, instead of just saying, I'm sorry, what I say to is, if you would have dried that glass off, I wouldn't have dropped it. You shouldn't have given me that glass when it was wet. Instead of just being able to say, I'm sorry, I have to make sure that anything that I do that's wrong is somebody else's fault. Because when you've had an authoritarian father, you're afraid of the constant judgment and fear. And so God wants to break that off of you. If you've had an authoritarian father, let's stand up. Guy that likes lots of rules. Okay, let's pray this now. Father, thank you that you are gracious and compassionate towards me. Father, I forgive my dad for loving the rules, for finding safety in the rules, and not trusting his heart. I forgive him for making me more of a legalist than I've wanted to be. Father, I want to receive your grace and compassion today. I want to be one that walks in mercy and love. So I invite you to draw me with your loving kindness, Father, and fill me with your love. So just take a deep breath. Okay, have another seat. Okay, now we're getting on to the last two. Okay, the abusive father. So the most severe wounds inflicted on a child are emotional wounds, deep emotional wounds, and they can be healed. Just understand that. An abusive father can inflict physical, emotional, verbal, or sexual abuse on family members. That creates a lot of inner pain, deep fear, insecurity in your relationship with your own dad because you can't trust him. But then it also, you can creates insecurity with the father. You come home and your abusive father, it's often, and this was my case, is he in a good mood? Is he angry? Is he drunk? What's going to happen now? You may believe that it's your fault, and so it's hard for you to relax in a house. You're always aware of the emotional atmosphere when your dad is around. You may feel guilt, shame, and a sense of worthlessness, and you may end up shutting down. You may turn to counterfeit affections for love to dull the pain that are constant factors in your life. So I'll give you an example with me. Like I told you, when my dad was not drinking, he was very passive and he was a very quiet, actually probably a very gentle man. I believe that my dad was one of those dads who never came home from the war. Because the man that came back to my mother was not the man that went to war. And in those days, they didn't understand post-traumatic stress. It was more like, suck it up, you know, put your big boy panties on and, you know, get moving. My dad was a survivor of a ship that went down. And he was one of very few survivors. And when the engines blew up, he was actually being sucked down into the water. When the engines blew up, it actually shot my dad back up to the surface of the water. And another survivor that was on a piece of the ship pulled my dad onto a piece of floating debris. The problem was the enemy aircraft began to strafe all the survivors, which was against the Geneva Convention, but You know what? War. People break rules all the time in war, don't they? And my dad remembered three times him and the buddy who had saved him going down under this piece of wreckage to avoid the bullets. The fourth time they went under the piece of wreckage, my dad came up and his friend never did. So now he had a double dose of survivor guilt. So when my dad came back, the thing that he did to comfort himself, he was born into a family that we didn't talk about emotions. My grandmother was a very strict, old Victorian type of woman. No shows of physical affection, no verbal shows of affection. Let's not get carried away. Even as a little kid, if you ran to her and said, I love you, Grandma, you were almost stiff-armed and said, okay, just, you know, let's just settle down. So my dad, who probably needed to process with somebody a great amount of pain, learned to deal with his pain with alcohol. Then as he became a doctor, he found out he could actually add drugs to that. And so it changed his personality. The war changed his personality, and then the drugs and alcohol also changed his personality. And so when his personality was in the, we call them Dr. Jekyll part, anything went. And my dad often would not remember, or at least we hoped he didn't remember, some of the stuff that he would do to us. But my dad tried to kill me on one occasion. Another time he tried to burn me. He lit my bedroom door on fire and lit a box on fire and threw it up against the door and was hoping that I was locked in there. Because he was drunk, he forgot there was a window. You know, that's the nice thing when they're drunk. They forget about stuff. So I climbed out the window and came back around through the house and put the fire out. But I lived with that, and you didn't know what was going to hit you when you walked in the house. And so I learned to shut down. On one hand, I was this super, people thought I was this super happy, chatty, you know, oh my gosh, could I chat? Yeah, I talked because I figured if I talked a lot, nobody else would say anything that might hurt me. So I could keep a conversation going for everybody. But I'd also shut down so much of my emotions. There was just so many things I was doing because I knew it was the right thing to do. Not necessarily because I felt that way. I had shut myself down. And in terms of God, I felt really unsure of getting close to him because I would say, why did you let this happen to me? So I was always in this constant turmoil of this God that everybody says who loves you, but he's put, my dad is this mess who's bringing violence into our life. And then on top of that, from the time I was 9 till 11, I was abused by our Catholic priest, too. And then somewhere in there, my dad's friend, who was another doctor and highly respected, also began to molest me. And so in my mind, it was, God hates me. God must hate me, or else I'm a really horrible person. Because why would my dad do this? And when you have an abusive father, my dad's abuse compounded with the abuse of other people because of his passivity. Remember we talked about the passivity? Because he was passive, he wasn't protecting our home. And because he was passive, he wasn't, even when we told him what was happening, he didn't step in because he didn't like uncomfortable details. So when you have an abusive father like that, you can begin to be afraid of God. And you begin to feel like you've done something wrong, especially if you don't feel his love. And you can also begin to get really angry at God for not protecting you from your father's abuse. And so it's very hard to relate to spiritual authority in the church. And so that father can even, an abusive father can even look outwardly very peaceful, but he will just suddenly explode. And that's where some of the abuse comes from. And so you can project onto God that he's the big cop in the sky that's going to hit you. He's a God of wrath. You begin to think of God as someone that's to be feared, not necessarily trusted. You begin to fear that God is one of those gods that's going to be that's going to hurt you and not protect you. You believe that God is quick to punish, that he's not a loving father. And you begin to believe that God is a God that is, it's almost like that God does not love you, and so you have to go through hard things because from your very creation, you almost have this belief that I'm not worth loving. There's something wrong with me, or why would all this happen to me? So you can become this. You become angry at God for not protecting you. Don't you care about me? You can feel inherently bad sometimes people, I've run into other people with my story that begin to believe that they must have done something to deserve this life. Children don't do anything to deserve abuse. They can. You can also become a person that battles guilt, unworthiness, and shame. There must be something wrong with me. I thought that all the time. There must be something wrong with me. That's why I thought eventually Alf will leave me, because one of these days Alf is going to figure out there's something wrong with me, and when he figures that out, he'll leave me. Thank goodness he didn't figure that out. And God just healed me and made me even better. So the other thing you can do is become, it's hard to draw close to God and to trust others. And that, again, reflects back to Alf and I. He says, if others really knew how bad I was, they wouldn't love me. Because why would God love me if my own father can't? Or why did God let my own dad hurt me? Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he has plans to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. Where is God in all this? Psalm 23, verse 16. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. God's intention for you, as it was for me, is for good. A bruised reed, it says, he will not break. See, we might bend over with the weight of what's happening to us and fall, but we're not going to break if we lean on God, if we let him heal us. We're not going to snap or break off. The very areas that you were broken in are the very areas that he will strengthen and redeem. So if you've had an abusive father, I want you to stand up. Okay, close your eyes. So I want you to say, Father God, thank you for your tenderness. You are so wonderful and tenderhearted. You love to wipe away every tear. And today I give you permission to do that. There are tears in me that need to be cried and tears that need to be wiped away. Give me a double portion of honor where I've been dishonored. Give me a garment of praise where I've walked in heaviness. Call me back to life. Call my heart back to life from all those places where I have felt dead or shut down. Restore to me all the years that locusts have eaten, and restore my joy in multiples. Okay, take a deep breath. Okay, have a seat. Don't worry, the forgiveness is coming, so we'll get rid of all that soon. Last father type, the good father. Can I hear a big cheer? Oh, that was so lame. The good father, come on. There are good fathers out there. You know, not every man is a bad guy. You know, and we don't celebrate the good fathers enough. So yay, they do exist. This is what good fathers will do for you. And they will instill love and security in you. They call, good fathers call their sons and daughters to life. As you listen to Alf, you're going to hear how much of the Heavenly Father you can hear in this father type when we go through it. This father type unconditionally pours out affirmation, love, and encouragement in concrete ways, even when he's disciplining. He's proud of you. He initiates relationship, just like our Heavenly Father. Affection is spoken and given in hugs and kisses, touches, gifts, reassurances, and encouragement. A good father speaks openly about how much they love you. They speak about your value, your identity, and your purpose. He promotes you. He's openly proud of you. He initiates and then comes to the rescue when you need him. He's a good father that sees you and loves you for who you are, not for what you're not. Okay, can I say that again? A good father sees you and loves you for who you are, not for what you're not. This is the Father's treatment of Jesus. The Father's treatment of Jesus as his baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration are a good indication of what it means to be a good father. He says, you're my son whom I love, and I'm well pleased. Having a good father means you have confidence and a greater ability to risk and rebound rejection, disappointment, and you can more easily connect to the love of God. But here's the blockage with a good father, and there is a blockage. There may be many good fathers, but there's only one perfect father. And good fathers can pave the way for you to live healthier and have more balanced and wholesome lives. But if there's anything you're going to struggle with in a good father, it can be this, that the smallest thing they do gets blown out of proportion for you. And it's sometimes because you have such great high expectations of your dad, right? Things that you have to look for in this is one fault can seem like a blaring issue. When you've had a dad who usually meets every need, things can seem bigger than they are. I'll give you an example of that. Alf is a good dad. I know this will be hard for some of you to hear, but he's not a perfect dad. I know that's hard for him to hear, but it's a reality we walk in, okay? But our kids, because they've had a good dad, and as he's gotten healed, he's become a better and better dad. We're not saying he was good, but there was problems when our kids were younger. When Alf's dad died when he was around 12, we found this interesting thing that happened, is at 12, he suddenly kind of cut off from our boys because it was almost like, I don't know how to parent past 12. And so he kind of withdrew a bit from the kids for a little bit. And so then as God healed his heart, just this loving, awesome dad kicked back in again. But he had this time of healing that he needed to go through. But in the meantime, our kids had had a good dad. He plays with them, he talks with them, blah, blah, blah. But if he ever broke a word to them, for instance, one day he told the boys that when he was coming home, he was going to do something with them, take them for an ice cream or something like that. Well, he got held up at work, which is very unusual for Alf. He usually tried to make it home for supper every night. But honestly, you would think that he had killed somebody by their reaction to him not being there for that ice cream. Well, where is he? He promised. I can't believe that. I mean, my kids went on this like little mental meltdown thing. And I was shocked because I thought, your dad always keeps his word to you. What's with the attitude right now? But we realized as we understood about a good father is that they had this expectation that he'd never disappoint them. So you can still have some blockages with having a good dad. It can also seem dishonoring to have with a good dad to be hurt by something that he did. So you make excuses all the time. I know he didn't mean it, you know, all of those things. You don't know how to receive love from Father God because you feel like there's no need. I have a good dad. If you knew the number of people that have come to me and said, well, I understand why you need the Father's love because I've heard your testimony, but my dad was a good dad. Yeah, you know what? But you need the Father's love as much as I do. Because there's only one perfect father. We all need the perfect father. So you can wrestle with thinking, yeah, but I don't need it because of my dad. You do need it. You can remember, there's no perfect fathers, not even one. And so you can project this onto God. You can have a wonderful view of Father God, but you don't let him have a place in your lives. Or you can project that you feel you don't need his active input or love. I can talk to my dad about it. I can go to my dad. And you could become a person, a Christian, who relates mostly to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you become a person who wants intimacy with the Father, but it feels kind of awkward and guilty because you don't know how to fit the two relationships together. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. So if you had a good father, stand up. Well, I was a little bit nervous for a second there. I thought, is nobody going to stand? Okay, pray with me. Thank you, Father, for your love. And I thank you for my earthly parents. And I bless them. They gave me life. I choose to honor them today for giving me a good upbringing. And Father, my earthly dad was a good father. And I want to thank him for that today. So I want you to say this. Dad, I thank you for being such a good father. But today, I want to release you. And I want to bless myself to learn how to let my heavenly Father father me. So Dad, I release you today. And Heavenly Father, I receive that fathering now, and I give you permission to be my father. So just take a deep breath. Okay, have a seat. Okay, now we're going to do the next 10, 15 minutes. We're just going to do some ministry for you along those father types. How many of you found that hard? Okay, how many of you found that kind of informative? Because you saw yourself in ways that you hadn't seen before. Yeah. So now we want to apply the healing to that, because I'm a big one for believing that we don't make your hearts raw and vulnerable without now allowing God to pour some healing in. Okay, so we're going to do some ministry. So team, I'm going to need you up here soon. Right now, I guess. Okay. And can you just put on that CD for me? Somehow I've lost this. Okay. I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to have Darcy read on behalf of your dads. That if your dads could understand their impact on your life. Because this is the reality, you guys. Nobody grows up and says, man, I hope I screw my kids up. There's not a single person, at least I hope, that hasn't ever intentionally said, yeah, I want to hurt my kids. Most of our parents, especially our fathers, where they hurt you, it's usually was in their own areas of wounding. And they didn't know what to do. And so Darcy is going to read for me in a minute what we hope your own father would want to say to you. And at the end of each one, I'm going to get you to respond, Dad, I forgive you. So let me just start with this. Close your eyes. Have some Kleenex ready if you need it. So Father, we ask right now that there will be an impartation right now of your comfort. That you'd come to the little boy and the little girl in each person here. Father, for those that have never known what it's like to have a safe place, for those whose hearts have become cut off or whose hearts have closed down, come to them. Open the hearts right now, Father, because this is a safe place and because this is what the Lord says, that you would extend peace to us like a river. Thank you that you're coming right now, Father, to hear the cries of that baby that felt abandoned and unloved and unlovable. That you're hearing the cry of that precious little girl who wanted to be hugged by her father, who never knew what it was to be comforted. Thank you right now that you're coming in all your tenderness and love and mercy. Come right now around the room. And he is coming right now. Just feel his love. Thank you that you heard the cry in the night. And there's still so many of you that cried in the night and no one came. And there's a little child in some of you who's still crying. Is anyone going to come for me? Come, Holy Spirit, right now and speak to their spirit the word they need to hear. And let those tears flow. What's been blocking you all those years of not being able to give or receive love. But he's coming today. He's coming right now. Let the Father come. And listen to the words of a father as we walk through forgiveness.
I need to apologize to you for some big mistakes I made in my fathering. I hope this allows us to feel closer to one another. My greatest hope would be for you to forgive me. I am sorry. I am sorry that I hurt you with my words. I'm sorry that I made you feel less than what you are. I am sorry I did not lift you up to where you should be. I am sorry I let my pride, my stupid and inexcusable pride, get in the way of loving you. I am sorry that I made you cry, made you feel that you are not worthy of my love or anyone else's love. And I am sorry that I looked for the wrong in you and did not focus on the wrong in me.
Let's respond. Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I release you.
Forgive me for not being able to teach you how to be a man or be a loving husband. Forgive me for not telling you that you are wonderful and a gift not only to me, but to this world. Forgive me for the times I ignored your cries, for my company or my love.
And let's respond. Dad, I forgive you. And Dad, I release you.
Forgive me where I didn't teach you that you were to be valued and honored, and to respect yourself and command respect from others. I didn't love myself, so I could not teach you to love yourself and allow healthy love to come your way.
Let's respond. Dad, I forgive you. And Dad, I release you.
Forgive me where I made you afraid of me. I didn't know how to speak lovingly or show any emotion except anger. I should have given to you what I never got from my father. I should have broken the cycle and chose to be loving and be kind.
And let's respond. Dad, I forgive you. And Dad, I release you.
Will you forgive me for the games I missed, the performances I was too busy, too tired, or too drunk to attend? Will you forgive me for not encouraging you in your strengths and not helping you when you didn't know what to do? I wanted to, but I'd failed at so many things myself. I didn't know how to help you or be the support that you deserved.
Let's respond. Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I release you.
Can you forgive me for using my words to wound you instead of building you up? Where I failed you as a father, I pray that you will allow the Heavenly Father to pour in where I did not, to nurture where I didn't, and to heal what I bruised.
Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I release you.
I humble myself before you and ask for your forgiveness. I know I was wrong in all I have done. I know that my behavior and attitude was wrong. I ask you to forgive me. I love you.
Dad, I forgive you. And Dad, I release you. You just take a deep breath. So, Father, right now we break off that spirit of abandonment. We break off the lie that we were abandoned. We call that lie up and we send it out to the pit where it belongs. Father, we ask for the river of peace to flow. Come right now and comfort us the way you always wanted to as we were children. Father, we ask that you would come and speak truth to my heart right now. Father, we don't want to believe the lies anymore. So let's say this to the Father. Father, take me in your arms and give me the love my father wasn't able to. I receive you as my father today. I choose to be your child. I receive your loving arms, holding me, restoring me to your love. So what we're going to do now, as our team is up here, and they just want to bless you. with a father's blessing. They want to pray for you if you need to give more forgiveness to your dad. But especially, they just want to give you that hug. Let the father's arms be their arms today. Let their words be his words today. And come up and get just that blessing and that hug that you need. We're going to break for about 10 minutes for people to have a coffee and go to the bathroom. And in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to go into the mother types. But I don't want to rush you, so I would ask that if you don't need to be in here, if you want to have a coffee, take it out into the lobby. Just be sensitive to there's ones that are still processing what God has said to them. But don't miss an opportunity to come and either have one of the team members just bless you. Just pray the Father's blessing over you, or to just pray with you to just forgive your dad. So God bless you guys. So come up for prayer while they're here, and we'll come back and do the nurture heart in about 10 minutes. Feel free to just keep soaking if you want to. You don't have to get up, but we'll give you about 10 minutes.